There you go, the suspense. If you would like to find out more about Davina McCall, whether she was from the line of a royal, of a member of the royal family, then you're going to have to go and find out and watch that. Does anyone know what programme that is from? It's Who Do You Think You Are? Yes, the BBC TV programme. Is Davina McCall descended from royalty? And if so, what would change? What would change if she was? Maybe it doesn't really matter, but I wonder, who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? We all want to know, don't we? We want to know, who am I? And where do I fit in? But actually, the question that I want to ask this morning is, who do you think you are, Denton Church? Who do you think you are, Denton Church, all of us? Are you Denton Church? Are you a building? Are you this building here? Are you an event that meets once a week or maybe more? Are you a club which some people are members of and others aren't? Are you a denomination, part of the Church of England? Are you something else? We need to know, don't we? We need to know. Because if we know who we are, then we will have purpose, and we will have identity, and we will have meaning. And we need to know that together as well as for ourselves individually. Now, for the last, I don't know how long, the UK has become a very individualised place, hasn't it? More and more and more. And actually, over the last year, we've seen that amplified to the extreme levels where we can't even see anyone else apart from our own household, where we live. And all of the groups which form community have just disappeared over the last year. But I think the scary thing is not that that is this new, completely different thing. Actually, this is where we've been going for a while, and suddenly it's shown what we're really like. Coronavirus has revealed just how isolated and lonely and disconnected most of us are. And so now, as we're coming out, God willing, as we're coming out, I think it's our responsibility as the church to show the world, to show Denton, what real community is like. What it means to be a part of something. But that's only going to work if we know who we are. So who do you think you are? As Louis said, we're going to spend a few weeks looking at church. What is church? And what's it doing? What's it meant to be doing? What's it meant to be like? And we're following a book called God's New Community by Graham Bynan. And so we're going to go through different passages. We're not going to go through one book of the Bible. We're going to go through different passages each time. But I think it's going to be really good. And the first thing to say about who church is this. And you probably know this already. Whenever the Bible talks about church, it's talking about people. It is people. It's people who follow Jesus. That's what church is. And the Apostle Peter wrote this letter that Sean read to us. He read a part of it to us. He wrote this letter to a whole load of Christians who were scattered all over Asia Minor, which is Turkey now, today. And they were weak, they were struggling, they were under pressure from the government and from their employers and from their neighbours, and they were isolated everywhere in little pockets. And Peter wanted them to know who they were so they could keep going and keep growing and keep praising God even as they struggled and even as they faced all this pressure. And so this part of the letter, which Peter wrote, is just devoted to Peter saying, this is who you are. Get this vision of who you are. It may look like you're weak and struggling and pathetic and in difficulties, but this is what you really are. So let's look at what that is. Let's look at two key things. And the first is this. You are a glorious spiritual house. You, the people, are a glorious spiritual house. The church worldwide is being built up into an amazing, beautiful, glorious building by God. Have a look at verse 5. Grab your news in the pew, if you can, and look at verse 5. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Each person who believes in Jesus becomes a living stone in the building. And it all together forms a great giant structure that God is building. Have we got a picture? Here we go. Do you know Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris? Do you know how long this cathedral took to build? The main bit. I mean, it was being built over hundreds and hundreds of years. The main structure took 100 years to build, from 1163 to 1260. And that's 100 years, generations of stonemasons. Imagine being one of those stonemasons right at the beginning, who put the first layers of stone in, who cut the stones from the quarries and formed them into the right shapes. And they gave their whole career, their whole lives, to building this great building, and a building that they would never see finished. Imagine that. A huge project to create something beautiful and permanent and to God's glory that they would never see complete. But compare that. I mean, that's amazing. It is an amazing building, isn't it? But compare that to God's house that Peter is talking about here. This one, Notre Dame, is made of limestone. God's house is made of living stones. And each of us who follows Jesus is one of those living stones. Living because Jesus rose again, and through faith in Jesus we have eternal life. The main structure of Notre Dame was built, as I said, in the sort of 12th century and 13th. God has been building his house from the beginning of the Bible, right from the beginning, since the world began. And every stone that he has put in place has been put in the right place and has been laid just right. Do you remember just a couple of years ago, Notre Dame caught fire? And it was really badly damaged, wasn't it? I think it's going to be finished, the repairs. The first time they're going to have a service in there again is in 2024, apparently. God's house will never be destroyed. It cannot be destroyed. It is permanent. Because, as Louis was saying earlier, Jesus is risen. This house is permanent. It will last forever. And if you are a Christian, you are a part of it. Denton Church, you are a part of it. As Denton Church worships together and reaches out to share the good news of Jesus and serves the community and loves one another, God is building his church right here. Isn't that amazing? That is what you are part of. And so often we feel discouraged because we feel like we're a small number and we're so restricted, we can't even be next to each other and we can't even sing and things like that. But this is what you are part of, an amazing project that God is making that has eternal significance. So keep going. Keep going. It's worth committing your life to this. It is worth meeting every week. It's worth serving. It's worth giving. It's worth loving. And it's worth sharing this with others. You are a glorious spiritual house. That's the first thing. The second thing is that Peter says is you are God's special possession. Just have a look down again at verse 9 and try and take this in. This is what God, speaking through Peter, says to us. He says, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. In your natural state, in my natural state, we were lost and alone and broken and enslaved by our sin, destined only for death and destruction, cut off from God and from others. That's us, and God came right into that darkness to find us and rescue us. He called us out of darkness into his wonderful light, as it says. He made you into his people, united together in love, because he loves you and he chose you. I wonder what your most treasured possession is. Just think for a minute. What's your most treasured possession? I guess for most of us it will be something that reminds us of a person, won't it? Like a wedding ring, or an heirloom, or maybe a teddy or something like that. And for many of us, we don't really have a treasured possession that's a thing. Actually, the people are the thing that's most treasured. Well, that's the same for God. He treasures his people. Just think, all the way through the Old Testament, Israel was God's chosen people, and they were just this insignificant nation. They were ungrateful, they were grumbly, they were rebellious, and they were idolatrous, and every moment they just went away and they went aside and they messed it all up. But he chose them, and he loved them, and he stuck with them the whole time. They were his precious possession all the way through everything. He loved them because he loved them. And since Jesus died and rose again, and since the Holy Spirit came, we are part of that. We are joined into his chosen people. And he loves us just like he loved them. That's what Peter wants these isolated, discouraged churches to know. You are God's special, treasured possession. And it's not just inspirational stuff like this. Have we got this? Is it not working? Okay. There's a quote from Winnie the Pooh, which says, it's Christopher Robin who says this: you are braver than you believe, stronger than you seem, and smarter than you think. And it's kind of, you know, one of those posters for inspiration. And, you know, it's lovely words, but it's kind of wishing something into being, isn't it? Peter is not just speaking words that you might want to wish into being like that, that you wish could be true. He's saying words that are true because of Jesus. Let me just read them again, because they're so amazing. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. I mean, he just piles it up, doesn't he? And doesn't that make you want to rejoice? Doesn't that make your heart sing, even though your mouth can't? That is our job, to declare the praises of God. To tell each other the wonderful things that God has done. The story of how he saved us and made us a people. Share it with others. You are God's special possession. The final question, though, to ask is, how? How are you? How are we God's spiritual house? How are we God's special possession? And Peter says, you are these things through Christ, only through Christ. So look at verse 4. as you come to him, Jesus, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, then you're being built. It's as you come to Jesus and put your trust in him that you are being built into this great structure. And it's as you come to Jesus and believe in him that you are joined into God's chosen people. It is Christ or nothing. If you just run your eye down the bit in the middle, the bit we haven't talked about, verses 6 to 8, that says you either trust in Jesus or you fall over Jesus. He's either the cornerstone or a stumbling block. Now, somewhere in this building, and I don't know where it would be, maybe you could tell me if you're an architect or a historian, you might know, at the bottom of one of these corners, there will be a cornerstone. And it was the first stone that would have been laid here in Denton for this church. And it's the most important one because every other stone is measured and is built from that cornerstone, up and across, they're all measured from this one cornerstone. And so the cornerstone has to be absolutely right. And Jesus is that cornerstone in God's great building. This magnificent structure that God is building can only exist because Jesus was born as a human and died on the cross and rose again and ascended to be with God to his right hand. And it's only built as Jesus as people come to Jesus and follow him. And at the same time, he's a stumbling block to those who reject him. If you reject Jesus, there is no other way to be part of God's building. And you can't build your own building because you just trip over Jesus and fall down. So perhaps if you this morning have never accepted that you need Jesus to save you from yourself, from your sin, from everything that's made you lost and alone, then please come to him. Do it today. He loves you. He died for you to save you. You can pray to him and ask him for forgiveness, and he will give it, and he will welcome you into his people and make you a living stone in God's building. And if you are a living stone, but you're feeling like church is weak and pathetic and struggling, and actually who doesn't at the moment? Then know who you are. You're God's spiritual house. You are God's special possession through Christ. So as we finish, I don't know if you've watched any of these, the Word Alive videos that we've talked about in previous weeks. They're on YouTube. They're really good. And one of them was by a woman called Rebecca McLaughlin. And she was talking about the fact that everyone says the church across the world is declining. You know, it's getting smaller, fewer and fewer people are Christians. And she was saying, actually, that's not true at all. It's growing. And she says, do you know where Jesus' church is growing most in the world at the moment? Fastest in the world? It's Iran. Iran. Under the boot of the Islamic regime in Iran, a glorious spiritual cathedral is being built by God. It looks like Islam has won, and they are strong, they are powerful, they are in charge in the government, and Christians are weak and persecuted and marginalised, but day by day, more and more people are becoming living stones in God's house as they put their trust in Jesus in Iran. And the unstoppable, indestructible, everlasting temple of God grows higher and taller and greater in Iran and in China and in the continent of Africa and even in Denton. Doesn't that make you want to keep going? This is what you are part of. This is who you are. Doesn't that make you want to be committed to Jesus, the cornerstone? Shall we pray? Thank you, Father, that you are making, you are building your church. And it is this glorious, indestructible, magnificent building, a spiritual house, which pleases you, which is your treasured possession. Thank you so much. Thank you that you have brought us into it. You have made us living stones to be a part of it. Thank you that Jesus gave his life at such great cost for us to make this possible, to make us part of your house. Please help us to know who we are. Help us to keep going. And help us to join with you in this building project. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.